If you look at the scriptures, God records the actions and thoughts of various people that so that we can learn from them. And sometimes it's good to look at those that we don't discuss quite a bit. And so what we see is that they are very real people, of course, dealing with hard problems and making decisions that sometimes are not good. There are many people who walk by faith, and certainly we can learn a lot from those. But there's also those that fail to walk by faith. And this morning I want to look at one of those. And of course, the ones that fail to walk by faith, they need to be transformed. They need to be changed and become faith-filled followers. And today we want to look at Esau. And one of the things that was read this morning is that Esau had a problem with his brother Jacob. And so when you look at his life here, that certainly stands out to us. And when you read through Genesis, you see that Jacob and his mother Rebekah conspire to take the blessing away from Esau. And Isaac in Genesis 27 that was read for us this morning, Isaac is older. He's lost his eyesight. He knows it's time, you know, for him to put his affairs in order. And so it's time to bless his oldest son Esau, and he's make arrangements for that. Rebekah overhears that conversation and tells Jacob, hey, you know, you'd be aware of what's going on here. And so Jacob pretends to be Esau and steals Esau's blessing away from his older brother. So we'll talk more about that in the future. But what I want to focus on this morning is on Esau. And, you know, I look at Esau, I feel bad for him and how he was cheated out of his blessing by his brother. I had brothers. I know how that is, that brothers sometimes do things to each other. But, you know, but I want you to notice here how the Hebrew writer talks about this situation. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 15 through 17. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled. No one is sexually immoral or unholy like Esau, who sold his birthright for a single meal. For you know that afterward, when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he had no chance to repent, though he sought it with tears. So the Hebrew writer paints a warning here, and interestingly enough, the Hebrew writer does not say, oh, you remember poor old Esau and how he was swindled out of his blessing by his brother. But rather what we are told is that he desired to inherit the blessing, but he was rejected. In fact, the example that is being held up for us by the Hebrew writer is Esau is being used as an example of failing to obtain the grace of God due to his mistake, due to his unholiness. And so many become defiled. By the way, here's Esau, who was unholy because he did this. So let's think about, you know, poor old Esau here and go back and look at what happened in his life so we can learn how he failed to obtain the grace of God and the blessing of his father. And so through this failure, hopefully we can learn how to inherit the blessing and not be rejected by God. So the Hebrew writer is telling us, hey, you need to look at what happened here so that you can learn from it. So let's look in Genesis chapter 25. Let's look in Genesis chapter 25 because this is where all this, you know, starts to play out. Starting in verse 29. Once when Jacob was cooking stew, Esau came in from the field and he was exhausted. And Esau said to Jacob, let me eat some of that red stew, for I'm exhausted. Therefore his name was called Edom, which means red. Jacob said sell me your birthright now. Esau said, I'm about to die. Of what use is a birthright to me? Jacob said, swear to me now. So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and lentil stew, and he ate and drank and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. And so here is this record of events. We're told that Jacob was cooking stew. Must have been some pretty good stew. And his brother Esau came in from the field and was exhausted. And, you know, let me have some of that. And Jacob said, you can have some, but you're going to pay for it with your birthright. What's birthright? That doesn't mean anything to me. I'm going to die of hunger. And so let's have an understanding of what this means. What does it mean to have the birthright? What you should think of is think of an inheritance. Think of an inheritance, and there are a couple of key facets to this inheritance. Number one, you know, Jacob is the oldest, and he would receive a double portion of the inheritance. And, you know, this is one of those times that I like that part of the old law because I'm the oldest. But that's not the way things are now. But receiving the double portion. Second, the oldest son had firstborn status, and what you see is that he becomes the head of the family, the head of the estate, if you want to think about it that way. So when Isaac dies, you know, everything that Isaac is over is going to be Esau's. And so when you think about this and think about this transaction, it's ridiculous. I'll sell you a meal of red stew. Can't even tasted it yet, you know. But I'm going to give you my birthright if you give me this stew. If you give me your inheritance rights and rights to carry on the family name as head, it is just a ridiculous consideration. I want you to trade all of your future rights to me for a single meal. One of the shows that Jarrell and I do not agree with watching used to be Deal or No Deal. She hated it. And it still comes on in reruns, and she still hates it if I ever turn it on. So if you're not familiar with Deal or No Deal, I think there's 25 briefcases that are up on a stage. And in one of the briefcases, there's $1 million. But in another briefcase, there's, you know, 25 cents. And so the person that's on the stage is, you know, gets to pick a briefcase. They don't know what's in it. So are you going to trade what's in your briefcase with what something else is on the stage? And so they go through the routine. Howie Mandel is the host. And picking, you know, do you want to trade what's in your briefcase for what's in number 12? And they open it up. And if it's a low number, then they keep going. And they phone the banker, and the banker makes them a deal. You know, if you'll stop right now, you can have X amount. And so the banker says, you can have $46,000. And they're making a decision. And the crowd is chanting, no deal, no deal, no deal. And you know, when it gets up to the point that there's still some big numbers on the board, and the banker is offering them six figures, like $126,000, Jarrell is just screaming at the TV, deal, deal, deal. If it goes into six figures, you've got to take it. And it just drives. Why she gets so stressed out about it, it's just, I do it just to irritate her to watch it, because I know she is going to get so stressed by that show. And no, no. Yeah, and so many times you see it doesn't work out. That They were offered $250,000, and then there's still something big on the board. And so what happens next? Well, they pick the next number, and it's the $1 million one. And so then the offer goes way down to $16,000. See, you should have taken. Jarrell's just so mad at their bad decision. And I've actually seen it sometimes where they went away with the 25 cents. You know, that they made so many bad decisions in the game that they ended up with almost nothing. And so that's an illustration here of how you can make such a bad decision, such a bad deal. And this is a much, much worse deal than any game show could ever be. Look at, verse 32. Esau said, "I'm about to die, so what use is a birthright to me?" It's just total disrespect for what it is that he has. And so how in the world would you pick that briefcase? How in the world would you make that exchange? How do you sell your whole future for a momentary meal? But that is exactly what Esau did. Verse 34 tells us how you make that kind of decision. It says, "Jacob gave Esau his bread and lentils too. He ate and drank and rose up, and thus Esau despised his birthright." Didn't mean anything to him. And, the only way that you can make that trade is if you really don't value the promised inheritance. And he showed his contempt for it, and he didn't take Jacob seriously. But this is having something now in the moment versus something in the future. So when you skip ahead to Genesis 27, what we see there is that what was read for us this morning. Going back to Hebrews, you notice in Hebrews chapter 12, Esau wants to inherit the blessing. So he's forgotten about this event, evidently. And so he wants to inherit the blessing. This is all recorded for us in Genesis chapter 27. And so here we kind of summed up what has happened. Isaac sends Esau to hunt so that the two of them can have a meal. Isaac will bless him afterwards. Rebekah finds out about this. "Hey, Jacob." And tries to help Jacob do this. And pretending to be Esau, Esau is hairy and ruddy. Jacob dresses up like Esau and fools his father. And Isaac can't see due to his old age. Again, think about what the Hebrew writer says. "For you know that latter, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected even though he sought it with tears because he didn't find any opportunity for repentance." We're not told here Esau wanted to inherit the blessing, but he couldn't because Jacob stole it from him. That's not what the Hebrew writer says. He was seeking it with tears, but he couldn't get it because Jacob was dishonest and stole it from him. But you look in chapter 27 of Genesis, when Esau heard his father's words, he cried out with a loud and bitter voice. "Exceedingly great and bitter cry, and said to his father, 'Bless me, even me also, O my father.' But he said, 'Your brother came deceitfully and he has taken away your blessing.' Esau said, 'Is he not rightly named Jacob? For he has cheated me these two times. He has taken away my birthright, and behold, he has now taken away my blessing.' Then he said, 'Have you not reserved a blessing for me?'" And so Esau, really not taking responsibility for his decision here, says, "Jacob has taken it." No, not exactly. That's not what happened. "Esau, you traded your birthright. You did not value in your inheritance rights and traded it for a meal." Never once on Deal or No Deal did anybody have the opportunity to say, "I should have taken that $250,000 and I made a mistake. I opened that. Can we just rewind a little bit and go back to where I made that decision? Because this was not a good deal." "Jacob did not steal it from you. You gave it away." Yeah, he was deceitful with Isaac, no doubt. But, Jacob just took what you said he could have. You gave it away for nearly nothing. I've told you before that this is one of these stories. I don't even like stew, so this is something that makes no sense to me. If it had been a pizza or something, maybe, but not stew. You gave it away for nearly nothing. You did not give any value to your inheritance, right? You did not value it for what it is, but Jacob certainly did. Jacob knew that was valuable. And Esau saying here, Jacob's taking it. No, you gave it away. And the writer of Hebrews says, Jacob did not take the blessing. He said, God is the one that did this. Esau wanted the blessing, but he was rejected, though he sought it with tears. He showed contempt for his birthright. And it didn't matter how badly he wanted to be blessed. Now, it wasn't going to happen. Because you go back to the original account, it says he despised his birthright. So, obviously there's applications that we should make. The point is, do not look for God to bless you when you hold His promises and His inheritance in contempt. Esau still wanted the blessing even though he had traded it away, and the Hebrew writer is teaching us it doesn't work like that. And think about how often we want it to work that way. We want to throw away our eternal inheritance promised to us, living however it is that we want to live and doing whatever it is that we want to do. And the denominational world tells you, well, you can do that. And once you get it, you can't lose it. Just live however you want to. And that's not the way it works. I'm just going to do whatever I want to do, and somehow God's just going to bless me in everything that I do. You need to live for that eternal inheritance. And Jesus made this very point in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. I know that's not the right verse on the screen. But what do we do when we seek that first? It's obvious that your desires, your way of life, and all that you do needs to be centered around your devotion to God. Seek first your desires and do what you want to do, and it's still all going to be added to you. No, it's not what it says. Jesus said we need to seek Him first in His kingdom. Esau chose the stew, and then he was surprised at being rejected from receiving the blessing. To state it another way, you cannot look for the blessing when you didn't care about the inheritance. You didn't care. So, first of all, obvious lesson is do not live for instant gratification. How many people's lives have been destroyed and mangled or at least damaged because they went for instant gratification and they made a decision based on lust or greed or what they might want to say is temporary insanity? I was caught up in the moment. That caught up in the moment, burns a lot of people. Don't live for instant gratification. And there's no way that you can look at the account of Esau here and say it was anything but. I'm so hungry. I'm starving to death. I've got to have this. Well, here's what you got to do. Okay. I'll give you whatever you want. Starving. Such a foolish decision. And if we make decisions for the right here and the right now, you end up trading the priceless, eternal inheritance. And so you could say this is a much bigger decision than Esau had to make. Because those things, even if Esau had inherited Isaac's things, it was all temporary. There are only two ways to live. You can either live life making decisions for your future inheritance, or you can live your life making decisions for your present physical desires. And those two different decisions go in two different directions, two different trajectories. And this is the point that Jesus makes here in Matthew 7. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. So Jesus is saying that there are going to be many who are going to think that they are saved and belong to the kingdom, but they have gone their own way, like Esau. So you know, don't confuse the fleshly, the physical, and the immediate hunger or urges with eternal importance. You know, if Esau had just stopped and thought, you know, and Jacob really, you know, presses it. I'll give it to you. No, you swear to me. And that should have clued Esau in, oh, well, he's serious about this. And not a pause, not a hesitation. He just, you know, give me the papers. I'll sign it right now. Don't confuse the immediate temporary with something that is eternally important. Another lesson that we can learn from this is that there are decisions that people make that forever change the direction of their life. And you know, there are so many examples of that, where people have destroyed their lives, they've destroyed their family, they've destroyed their careers because of bad decisions. And I'm not saying that you can't recover from a bad decision. Peter recovered from one. Paul recovered from some. And so you can recover from bad decisions and seek repentance and receive it. But there's a lot of damage. And you see, this is another component of what the Hebrew writer is teaching about Esau's decision. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15 warns us to make sure that you don't be like this, because you'll fail to obtain the grace of God. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 15 through 17. Let's reread that again. Hebrews 12, 15 through 17. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, that it may become defiled. That no one is sexually immoral or unholy like Esau, who sold his birthright for a single meal. For you know that afterward, when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place to repent, though he sought it with tears. So did Esau want the blessing? He sure did. He wanted it so much he cried about it. He did it with tears. And so you read about that in Genesis chapter 27. Isaac, you know, he tricked you. I'm here. Give it to me. Don't you have anything for me? And he was rejected, finding no opportunity there for that to be turned around. Because Esau made a decision that we saw back in the previous chapter. He despised his birthright. It wasn't something that was going to be undone. And Esau made a decision that had lifelong consequences. And so when you don't care enough about eternity and the inheritance, and you say, oh, well, you want what's over here in this briefcase? Yeah, I'll take that. You know, I watch a lot of game shows. What's behind curtain number? Give me what's behind curtain number three. When you live your life not caring about eternity, then you're going to make bad decisions. maybe you don't think about what the sinful decisions can actually do and how the ruinous effect there can be. And so many decisions forever change the course of people's lives. And there's a lot of crying, a lot of heartache, and a lot of tears that go along with it. But we live in this culture that, you know, thinks that we can do whatever we want, you know, without consequences. Even in business. You sign a contract with one vendor, the other vendor says, "No, you can get out of that contract before you take delivery of it." You know, and I've heard that said so many times. "Well, I've made an agreement with this party over here." "Nah, you don't have to keep that agreement. You know, I'll tell you how to get out of it." And so much of that goes on today. And we live in that culture that says, "I want to do what I want to do, and I don't want to deal with the consequences." And if somebody tells you there's consequences, let me tell you where the loophole is to get out of that. You know, Esau found no loophole here. He's the one that made that decision. Jacob said, "Do this." Esau said, "Okay." Every decision that we make has consequences. And Esau's decision about his birthright, while he's hungry, it didn't seem to be a big deal to him at the time, but it changed everything later. And the Hebrew writer is saying, choose righteousness, because if you don't choose righteousness, then there's going to be eternal consequences. So, let me end the lesson by talking about what the title of the lesson was. What is eternity worth? What is eternity worth? What is the value of eternity? What is the value of your eternal soul? Is your eternal inheritance worth the single meal that the devil's offering you? Of course not. Are you exchanging the blessings of God and your future eternal inheritance for a moment of sin? Why would anybody do that? Well, it's done all the time. Esau is not the only person that's made that mistake. Maybe not that specific stew mistake, but there have been many that have traded something of little to no value for something eternally valuable. So, will we fail to obtain the grace of God? Well, the Hebrew writer is saying, if you live like Esau, you will. Or will you live for Christ so that you can have His blessings and the birthright that's promised to you? Or are you just going to throw it away? So it's a very sobering question. And it's certainly one that we ought to remember when that temporary, you know, shiny object is flashed before us. And we want to reach out and grab that, and it will have eternal consequences. So let's look at these warnings that have been given to us. How sad it would be if eternity comes and we're told that you didn't take it seriously. You didn't value it, you simply threw it away, just like Esau. Let's live every day showing God that we appreciate the value of what it is that He has offered us. We would never throw it away, never devalue it, and understand its eternal importance. If we can help you in any way to do that, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.
Calvary.
Appreciate that word of encouragement and lesson not to trade our salvation cheaply. That's what we do. That's great to say that right here. Now, let's not be guilty of the same thing. And not be guilty of in our classes. We talk about pointing to others and the sin in their lives and not considering it in our own. That will also forfeit our salvation as well. Lord expects us to be righteous before Him. And I think we come together like this to be encouraged with one another. And you have been indeed this morning. And I hope that what we've done has encouraged you as well as we glorify our God together and study His Word. Let's take those things to heart and live them out in our lives. Does the men have anything else that should be announced at this time? Let's go to God in prayer. We'll be dismissed before the meeting begins in the evening at 7. Continue our Bible study.
Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this day, and we're thankful for the brethren that have gathered together today to remember Your Son's death and sacrifice and to study Your Word together. We pray that we've been encouraged as we've studied Your Word to be faithful to You and not devalue what it is that You have so graciously offered to us. And please help us to always remember that so that we can make the right decisions in our life. We're mindful of those that are ill and not able to be with us today. We pray that You'll be with them, restore their health, so that they can be back with us. And please also be with those that are traveling now and traveling in the future, that You'll watch over them and keep them safe. Please help us every day to remember the focus of our life is You and our future with You in heaven. And please help us to live each day so that heaven can be our home. And we pray all this in Christ's name. Amen.